Good morning.
Good morning, Bobby.
Hey, Christian. So this is going to be, a part two to a message that I preached. It's been a few months ago, but the passage was important enough to me that I felt like it deserved like a part two. So it's going to be the same passage, just taking it on a little further and bringing out some other aspects to it. So it's about experiencing God, and here's the passage in Ephesians 3:16-19, where Paul's writing to the Ephesians, and here's what he says. He says, "I pray that according to the wealth of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner person, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts," which is like taking center stage in your heart, "through faith," which is the same as our trust in him, "and all that, so that," another "so that," "because you have been rooted and grounded in love," which is simply stating a fact that if we're believers, we have experienced the love of Christ, "you may be able to comprehend," which is like to grasp, "with all the saints, what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth," and thus to know, and that kind of know is like an experiential know, not just a mind know, but an experiential know, "the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge." It's beyond anything we can, it's incomprehensible. "And all that is so that you may be filled up to the fullness of God," which is an odd statement for us. Really, essentially it means like the presence and the moral attributes of God, like the fruit of the Spirit, for example, love, joy, peace, and those things, that if we are doing those things, that we will be full of all that God is. It says in Colossians that Jesus was completely full of God. He had the fullness in bodily form. So when we do these things, we are moving in that direction towards having the fullness of God. And so I want to kind of challenge you with this idea. And that is, if you're experiencing a Christian life which you're committed but not feeling passionate about God, consider that if you're committed to God but aren't experiencing passion for him, then it could be that you intellectually know and believe in God, but you aren't experiencing his love. I'm kind of convinced that the difference in the Christian life between passion and commitment is that we become committed to God because we know it's true. We become committed to God because we it's like, yes, the Bible's true. Yes, there is a God. Yes, he loves me. It makes sense that I should commit my life. And then sometimes through self-discipline, we stay at it. But often without passion, without joy. And I think that difference is the experiencing God's love. Because as we experience God's love, then it becomes a passion and not just a commitment. We feel it. We're excited. It's like when we experience that, it just invades our soul. It invades our life. And we live out of passion instead of only commitment. So I want to focus on this concept, which comes out of that passage, and that is that we trust God and surrender to his love, which will bring about an experience that will enliven the deepest longings in our heart. I believe the deepest longings of our heart are experienced as we trust and surrender to God. So just a couple months ago, my father passed away. Many of you maybe attended that. It was a really enjoyable funeral, if that seems possible. It was, because there was like 500 people here, and they had come. He's had Alzheimer's for maybe 12 years, and yet so many people came because of the difference that he had made in their life. And to see that was a joy, and to be his son was a joy, because I had a dad that I never once felt he didn't love me, ever. I got in trouble often, he had to come to pick me up when I'm shoplifting and the police are there and everything. I didn't think for a moment that when my dad get there, he's going to be rejecting of me as a person. I knew I might get in trouble. But I never, ever, ever, not even for the slightest moment, thought that my dad wouldn't completely love me through that whole experience. So all my life, I felt this way. I felt like he backed me up, he loved me, and that he's just always going to be there. He was just a rock in my life of love. And then this picture here, this was maybe 5 years ago, I'm going to guess. So he had Alzheimer's, and he didn't really remember a lot of things, but he knew at that point that he still knew who I was, if I told him. And so we were out, and I said, "Dad, that ring you're wearing, did you know that I made that for you?" And he said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, back when I was in high school, I made that ring for you. And it's kind of neat that you're wearing it." And he's like, "Really?" And I was like, "Yeah, I made that for you, you know, because I love you." And he was like, "Really?" I mean, it was really an enjoyable experience to go back and forth. And so he teared up because it was like, "You love me and you made this for me and I have this ring on." And by the way, I have that ring on today. And it's like, "Yeah, I love you." And what I found, you know, I read this article some years ago that emotion doesn't have a timestamp to it. And that's really a cool thing, because when I look at this ring, I remember, I think of my father, and I think of how he treated me growing up. And although how he treated me growing up happened a long time ago, that is a distant memory, the feeling of love is like right now. I can experience in current time a past event. And in that sense, love lasts forever, doesn't it? In that sense, he's with me today. And having this ring on my finger, I kind of experience when I look at it, and I often do, especially, I mean, since it only happened a couple of months ago, I do a lot. I'm like, "Wow." And I experience that love like fresh, like today. And a few things about this ring. One, this ring reminds me of my dad and my longing for him and his love. Number two, this ring reminds me that he's not on earth, but in heaven with God, wrapped in his incomprehensible love. And not only that, but that gives me hope to be also with God, with him in incomprehensible love. So this ring serves several purposes. It has another one, and that is, it reminds me that my dad was a vessel who carried God's love to me. But God is the source that fulfills my longings. So it's kind of interesting. As I look at the ring, it reminds me of my father. But then as I think of my father, I realize that my deeper longings go back to God. Because all love is from God, who flowed through my father, who then came to me, and I'm wearing this ring that kind of starts the process of me thinking of it backwards. And then I was imagining how my father is like just a drop compared to the love of God. The love of God is like an ocean. It's more than we can possibly comprehend. And my dad's love is like one drop of that water that I got to experience a bit, just a tiny, tiny bit of the vastness of God's love through the experience I had of my father loving me. That also is true with my mom. I experienced love from my mom, who again is just a drop though compared to the eternal and vast love that I get from my father. And from my spouse, and you all as well, from your spouse and your parents, you're experiencing just a small taste of the vast love that God has for us. That's true with our children as well, and it's true with our friends, and it's true with the body of Christ. The body of Christ is meant for that purpose, for us to experience just a taste of all that we have in our magnificent and incomprehensible God. So consider this, that relationships are vessels, and God is the source that fulfills our deepest longings. So how do we experience our deepest longings? Well, we go back to this passage, and let's just kind of summarize the things that we were reading. One, we pray for spiritual strength. So it's not that we're going to just do this on our own, but God, through His Spirit, is going to change our hearts and develop this in us. Number two, we need to trust God. This is the key issue. This is our part, more than any other part, is that we have to be willing to trust. And through that trust, we allow God to become Lord of our life. We allow Him to be Lord even of our heart, which takes us surrendering our heart to Him. We also need to acknowledge, as part of that trust, the fact that God loves us, which is sometimes difficult. And He loves us unconditionally. No matter what we've done, He still loves us. And through that, Paul is saying, he's praying that may we experience God's incomprehensible love. And may our every longing be fulfilled in His presence. So being loved by God does not fulfill your deepest longing, though. Because consider, it's not actually God's love that fulfills our deepest longing, but our trusting, our experiencing God's love. The truth is, God loves all of us, but we're not all experiencing that longing being fulfilled in us because we're not trusting it. And so it's only as we trust we come to this experiencing God's love. And by trusting Him and surrendering yourself to His love, our deepest longings are fulfilled. So this is a picture of my wife. On the day that we met, to get married, we got married in Nerola, Italy, in a castle. Kind of cool. Built in 950. So a little backstory, though, is that we had dated for several years, and what she did not know was that she didn't really get the real Bob, because I had been divorced, and I was a little bit scared, is the right word. She was here first service, and she yelled out, scared, so I'll let that stand. I was careful. And part of being careful was that I didn't make it easy on her, meaning that when conflict arose, or how do you say that? That's what's the proper way of saying that. When conflict came up, I'll avoid the whole thing. When conflict came up, I wouldn't just like make it easy and solve it. I would like to see what she was going to do about it, how she was going to respond if I didn't just jump in there and make it all better, you know. And in different ways, I was essentially testing her, because my heart was somewhat guarded. I didn't want to go through what I had gone through before. I didn't want to go through a divorce. I didn't want that. I wanted to make sure that she was everything that I was hoping she was, and that she would be willing to work through things. So I was kind of on my guard with her and kind of testing to see how things would go. And so that was my whole mentality all the way up until this moment here. Because I decided when I was meeting her that day at the airport, and when she was, by the way, she always thought, she'd always tell me, I don't know if you're really going to show up. And of course I'm going to show up. And so then I got there first, and I wondered if she was going to show up, how things changed. So she did show up, and this is the first time she sees me, and little does she know that I have actually gone through a major change. I had, which I thought about it a lot, coming to the airport and even the night before, that, okay, Bob, it's time to let go of your defenses. It's time to let go. There's no more testing. This is it. And I let my guard down. I let my heart open. I let her. The way she describes it is that my warmth comes through, which takes a little bit to see, honestly. And she said it took about an hour, because we've talked about a lot about this. And she said you were so different, and I had no idea how different you were going to be. And so it's incredible how much our defense mechanisms cause us to guard ourselves against love, surrendering to love, and surrendering to God's love is where this comes in, is that I believe that it's difficult for us to experience God's love often because we have our guard up and we don't let him come in, and emotionally we're blocked off and we want his love, but we have protections up that don't allow his love to come through into our lives. So I'm hoping that we can this morning take a step towards trusting God and surrendering ourselves to his love and experiencing the deepest longings of our heart. So take a moment and look at this picture. What words describe the longings this girl might be experiencing in the arms of Jesus? I'm kind of I don't like to ask for help. What do you call that kind of person? You know, kind of an independent person. And that's funny, kind of, yeah. That's right. And yet I look at this girl and, you know, I want to be that girl. As much as I like to be independent, the truth is I just want to let go in God's arms. Just be at peace, rest, not needing to battle anything, not needing to prove myself, not needing to do anything, but just be at peace, to be at rest. What words would describe what you're seeing? Anybody? I hear something?
Help.
Say, I'm sorry. Help. Help. Security. Forgiveness.
Surrender.
That was actually Mia, huh? Okay. Surrender.
Hope.
Hope. Hope. Good. Anybody else? Acceptance.
Brokenness.
Understood. Peace.
Relief.
It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? Beautiful idea. And when I say not just picture, but I mean picture of God's love for us and us being in his arms, completely being at peace. These were some of the words that I had thought of: love and forgiveness and being at rest, security, acceptance, connection, feeling valued, having purpose, peace. A lot of these words and all of them are valid. I mean, all of these things are our deepest longings, are they not? The words that we're saying, they're what we really, really want. We just want to be at peace. We want to
We want to just be able to rest without worry. So what did she need to do in order to experience the deepest longings of her heart? She needed to trust and surrender. She couldn't be like this. That, okay, you can hug me. You know, have you ever had that happen? I sure would. Yeah, sure, go ahead. She's not doing that. She's not doing that. She's at rest. She trusts. She surrendered. So if we're doing this, how can we experience God's incomprehensible love in an emotional way? We can know it's true. Yes, I believe you love me. That's not the same as just I trust you. I surrender. Consider some of these verses. How precious is your unfailing love, O God. Do not let your heart be distressed. You believe in God, believe also in me. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. Jesus told him, don't be afraid, just believe. As far as the eastern horizon is from the west, so he removes the guilt of our rebellious actions from us. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Humble yourselves then under God's mighty hand so that he will lift you up in his own good time. Leave all your worries with him because he cares for you. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. He delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of the Son he loves, whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give it to you as the world does. Do not let your heart be distressed or lacking in courage. So again, the point that I'm trying to center on this morning is that we need to trust God and to surrender to his love in order to experience the deepest longings of our heart. The problem is that we may all want that. In fact, I'm going to believe, I think that every single person in here wants what I've just described. I cannot believe there's a single person that would say otherwise. That ultimately, we want to be at that kind of peace. But there's obstacles that stop us. All of us face obstacles, and those obstacles are defined by some sort of fear. There's something that we're afraid of that causes us not to move forward and overcome that obstacle. And there's different things, and so I want to go through some of the things. I'm afraid to trust and surrender, and here might be one of the reasons. I have a deep emotional hurt, and I feel frozen. I'm afraid to be open and vulnerable with God or even myself. Things happen to us, whether it's in our childhood or maybe we went through some sort of abuse or some traumatic experience happened to us that causes us to not ever want to be vulnerable again. And the answer to this, I believe, is what David said in the Psalms. He says, I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. I'm not suggesting a simple prayer is going to end all of the trauma and pain that anybody went through. But what I'm saying is that we need to be praying to God to seek to believe. Because ultimately the answer is in our trusting in him, even though things have gone wrong. Even though things have gone wrong, we need to believe that he truly is the answer to our deepest longing, that truly he loves us. And the things that we've gone through, He has gone through with us, and he cares about our pain. And so if we go to God, we can, with that kind of open heart, we can move past that fear that we have of intimacy and getting through that pain that may be stopping us from wanting to move forward in that direction. Or maybe our fear comes from a different angle. It comes because maybe I've done so many terrible things and I still have an ugly heart. And I just can't believe I'm somebody God could love. It seems like we all go through this, that we know in our minds, we hear it over and over, God loves us no matter what. God loves us no matter what. And yet, God loves us no matter what doesn't seem to translate here to God loves me no matter what. It's so hard to feel what we know is true in our minds. And again, the answer, I believe, is to go to God and to have that time with him and pray, God, help me to believe this. What I did for years, I struggled with this, and I would lay in bed on a daily basis and imagine God hugging me and just trying to move my mind past the intellectual idea of him loving me, but having some sort of visualization of him loving me helped me to believe the truth. And that wasn't a manipulation of my mind. What it was telling my heart to match the truth that I knew was there. I knew it was true, but I was just not experiencing it. And it really helped me through praying and believing that he loves me and making a visualization. Or maybe I'm afraid for another reason. I've lived my whole life building an image, an identity to gain self-respect and the respect of others. And I want to I want to surrender to God, but I find so much value in who I am. I can relate to this one, and I suppose a lot of us can, is that we have this image. We built this whole, you know, thing, this whole construct that is who we are, and it doesn't allow us to fall into God's arms because we're standing too strong in our own arms. And we've got to be willing to move past that. We've got to be willing to understand the truth, and we've got to be willing to say that what we have is not truly going to bring us our deepest longings. It is not only it doesn't please God either, because we're worshiping ourselves, but it also doesn't even bring us what we're looking for. We're looking to be able to rest. We're looking to be able to experience his love, and that's not happening because we're so busy trying to make it from what we, the image that we have. And so again, go to God. Another fear might be that we've always felt that if I could just get everything worked out with my health, relationships, career, school, depression, and loneliness, then I finally will have peace. Just get it all under control. And I don't know how long you've lived, but I've lived long enough to know that is never going to ever, ever happen. Ever. Ever. Do you hear me? I mean, am I telling the truth? I'm telling you, you know, if you're young, you might think that's not quite true, and I'm telling you, just wait a little bit, because it just this world just isn't made that way. Things go wrong no matter how right you try to make it all, and get everything in the right order and control, and boom, something. I mean, it's, and you know, usually there's lots of things wrong, not just one or two things to try to fix, and again, we've got to drop that belief. We need to go to God and help us, God, because these problems that we have and the way we think that's so wrong didn't develop overnight, and it's going to probably take a little longer than overnight to get rid of them. But we need to be going to God and seeking to change our hearts and change the way we're thinking, that I'm finding my hope in getting everything under control, or do I find my hope in your love? I find my hope in my eternity with you. Or we might be afraid of something different, like I don't like to think or talk about personal things. I prefer to keep positive instead of dwelling on my fears and failures. But deep down, I want to experience God. Well, again, we need to pray. You know, yes, it may feel better to never have to talk about what hurts. But unless we're broken, unless we admit to God and to ourselves, I'm broken, God. I'm looking for you. I know that you are the answer to my life. I want to experience your love, not try to manufacture my own, not try to find it in my spouse, find it in my friends, but to admit the brokenness of all of life and know that you are the only answer that truly has any kind of ending that will make, that will work. So I have one final question. Do you have a relationship with God? And along with that is, do you believe your current relationship is bringing you your deepest longings? Are you trusting God? Let's pray. Dear God, I first pray for all of us that know you, that are committed to you, that know you love us and believe it, but we're not experiencing your love, Lord. I pray that we would be willing to let go of our strategies of control, to let go of our fears that won't allow us to be intimate with you, to the things that we have our guards up against, Lord. The things that scare us about getting close to you or being honest. Lord, I pray that we would be willing to trust you with our hearts. No matter how scary it is, Lord, that we would trust that you are life itself, to let go and believe and experience your incredible love, the depth and the width and the height and the length, Lord. Let us experience that love in your fullness, Lord. And if you're here and you've never had a relationship with God, started, then I beg you to consider beginning a relationship with God, and just pray with me if you want to do that this morning. Dear God, I clearly need you. Your Son was sent to heaven. I'm sorry, from heaven to earth to die on the cross for my sins, and I trust. I trust that you love me by sending him. I trust that he took away my sins by dying on that cross and by being the sacrifice for my sins. And I want to put my trust in you, and I want to make you Lord of my life. I want to believe in you. And this morning I put my trust in you. I give you my heart, my life. And Lord, I just pray that we as a whole will move deeper and deeper into trusting in your love and experiencing the deepest longings of our hearts. In your name, amen.
So sometimes when we go a little long, we don't do a closing song. But if you bear with me for a second, one of the cool things about doing both worship teams, and you're welcome to come up and sing harmony with me. One of the cool things about being on both worship teams is to see how they do things differently. And one of the things we do on this team is that when we do a closing song, we don't always know what that's going to be. We don't really plan that out sometimes before the service. And we just kind of see what the energy is, and we pick a song. And so we didn't really have anything ready for you right now or this morning for the service, but listening to Bobby's sermon, which was awesome, by the way. Thank you, Bobby. That was an excellent sermon. I could listen to you preach on love like every Sunday. So that reminded me of a song.